This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Working isn't the be-all and end-all of life, but it can sometimes feel like it is. More and more employees are tiring themselves out trying to keep up with the demands of the working world. This is Raise Your Game on Enterprise. I'm Christine Wong, and today I'm speaking to Lam Mun Chung, founder and CEO of Self-Driven, all about the issue of employee burnout. It's a really huge issue, and I think something that's really important to talk about in the workplace today. So thank you very much for coming into the studio and speaking to us about it today. Before we get into how to solve it, or how to douse it, I suppose, could you help us to define what is employee burnout and how can it be identified?
Right. In my view, employee burnout basically is a state whereby the employee feel either mentally or physically exhausted to a point where they lost focus, lost productivity, and it affects their personal well-being.
Right. So essentially, it's kind of when work essentially becomes too much to the point where it starts to affect them on a personal level as well.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, what are some of the kind of signs that you might see in someone who is suffering from employee burnout?
Well, someone who suffers from employee burnout, you can see from their faces signs of stress, for example. You can see that there's perhaps the inability to focus on work.
Mm.
You know, they are feeling very distracted. They are feeling that there is something else in their mind, and as a result, they are not being able to focus on what is the task at hand.
Right, I see. So kind of a lack of focus, and maybe perhaps also a lack of motivation, and also
yes.
kind of signs of stress as
yes.
well. Right. Well, there is there are a couple of statistics on burnout. So a recent Gallup study of 7,500 employees found that 2/3 of them feel burnout at least some of the time. And that's really concerning because it's a huge number of people, right? So, it seems to me that more and more people as time goes by are starting to feel burnt out at work. So what do you think about that? Why do you think that's the case?
I think at a very global level, I think we are living in an increasingly complex world. You know, we call it the VUCA world, you know, and it affects company businesses, and it definitely affects individuals. What the consequence of that really is, the result of living in a world where, you know, things are less predictable, lead to a lot of stress at the individual level as well. So the higher level uncertainty that individuals are encountering on a daily basis, that adds to their stress level. And eventually, if it's not managed, it becomes a burnout issue.
Right. And I think that as far as I can tell, this kind of instability or uncertainty is only going to increase over time, especially with the advent of things like Industry 4.0, where we have to really adjust to new ways of approaching work. So do you think that employee burnout is only going to increase over time?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, if we were to revisit what it means by Industry 3.0, you know, that term actually was invented in the early 1900s when Henry Ford kind of introduced the idea of mass production
right.
and specialization. So in that era, work is simple, where everybody is a specialist. You have a very defined role, and in terms of what skills you need in order to do your job, it is fairly clearly defined, and it doesn't change over time that much.
Mm.
So as long as you're trained to do a job, and you can do the job.
Right.
Right. But we have come to a stage where the world is entering the era of what we call Industry 4.0, where companies are facing a less uncertain world. Change is happening at a faster pace, you know, and therefore individuals need to adapt at a faster pace, and they need to learn how to learn at a faster pace.
Right.
So adding to that, the nature of work has become more complex, you know. Now, instead of being a specialist, more and more work require you to be more collaborative, to work in a team, to work with different people, to work in a dynamic environment on a project basis.
Mm.
So all that is putting a lot of demand on an individual from a psychological and mental end, right? So in the past, in Industry 3.0, I think the kind of stress that work is putting on you is mainly from a physical side.
Right.
So when we talk about employee wellness, it usually revolves around physical or physiological wellness.
Mm.
But these days, you know, when we come to talk about the modern workplace, more and more social wellness and mental wellness is becoming more important.
Right. You know, I think one of the interesting kind of symptoms of the difference between Industry 3.0 and 4.0 that you kind of touched upon is that there is a need for adaptation, right, in this day and age. And that is really exemplified by the fact that a lot of people nowadays do not have the same career as they did for their field of study, right? You know, a lot of people will have a certain degree, let's say like in business, and then they go into something else, let's say like media, for example, right? So that's quite an interesting deviation from what we are used to thinking of as the kind of work process. And you mentioned also the idea of wellness being mainly physical and physiological. And that is something that is, as you mentioned, slowly transforming over time. But why do you think companies, especially in Malaysia, I found, you know, why do you think that their wellness ideas or wellness programs are mainly focused on physical health without much of a focus or even a thought for mental or emotional health?
Right. I guess we are all still learning to evolve into the Industry 4.0 world.
Mm-hmm.
So most companies are coming from the Industry 3.0 paradigm, where whenever you talk about employee wellness, it's essentially a physical wellness benefit that is being given to all employees. You know, you make sure that employees have medical coverage for clinic visits to the clinic or hospitalization or insurance. And for most companies, that is what is needed for employee wellness.
Mm.
However, I think we have seen the research that says it's essentially, well, 80% of companies say that I have a good benefits program, wellness program for my employees. Employees in the same company are basically saying, 80% of them are basically saying that, no, you know, what the company is providing to me in terms of wellness and benefits doesn't really address my needs.
Right.
So that points to a very urgent need for companies to also evolve how they are managing employee wellness.
I think also the conversation about mental and emotional health in general in Malaysia as well has only recently started to really gain some traction. I think there was a sort of stigma attached to being vulnerable about those topics before, and now as we learn a little bit more about why you know, maintaining your mental and emotional health is so important, that's starting to slowly work its way into the corporate world as well. And because of that, you know, there are, as you mentioned, company wellness programs that do exist, and they do and they're now slowly starting to address some of these issues. But why do you think that, you know, employees aren't taking advantage of that if they're starting to feel burnt out?
Right. Many reasons that I've seen from a personal experience. I think first and foremost, I hear a lot of employees basically say, I have this problem, but I'm so busy at work, I don't have time to deal with the problem. It's a question of setting the right priorities to deal with the problem that affect you the most. I think the second issue that I've seen is also sometimes the lack of awareness, the lack of education. As you mentioned, maybe somebody is suffering from so much burnout that he has sank into a state of depression. You know, it's affecting him so much, but there is no one that he could talk to. There's a stigma attached to something like that, for example, right? And therefore, I know employees are not aware of what they could do to help themselves. And so that's another reason why, you know, you don't see employees doing something about their own mental health, for example. Mm. The third reason is perhaps we all have our own coping mechanisms, you know. So when we feel stress, if you ask 10 people, how do you deal with stress? They probably give 10 different answers. So companies perhaps need to address that. If you want to make your wellness program more inclusive, perhaps providing employees choice and variety is important. Asking employees what is important to them before designing any sort of wellness or benefit programs.
All right, that's really interesting. And I think, you know, that really makes a lot of sense that you have to address individual needs on an individual level, right? You can't have a one-size-fits-all solution for something that is so deeply, deeply personal. It's time for a quick break now for a bit of music. But after that, I'll continue speaking to Lam Mun Chung all about employee burnout. But this time, we're going to talk about how we could recover from it. So stay tuned to Raise Your Game on Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. I'm Christine Wong, and before the break, I was speaking to Lam Mun Chung. He's the founder and CEO of Self Driven, and we were talking all about employee burnout. And essentially, we were defining what it was and also why people aren't necessarily getting help when they feel burned out. You know, and I wanted to kind of address the, I guess, this issue from the flip side, right? Instead of thinking about people who are already burned out, why is it important for people to be emotionally and mentally healthy in the workplace?
Why is it important for people to be mentally and emotionally healthy? As I mentioned, more and more the work that we're doing today requires us to collaborate, to be innovative. So other than being engaged physically, we also need to engage ourselves from a mental perspective, from a social perspective. So when we suffer from the lack of well-being in those areas, then our work is also affected.
Right. Yeah. You know, and I think that is really underestimated by a lot of companies. At least in the past, I think that we're slowly progressing towards really getting to understand the effect that our mental health can have on our productivity or even just our lives in general as well. And it really is something that we need to put more of a focus on, I think, from here on out. So now let's talk about some solutions or kind of recovery ideas for burnout. So if someone is listening to this and realizing that, okay, maybe they are exhibiting signs of burnout themselves, they feel tired or stressed, or they realize that they're not putting as much focus onto their work, or they don't feel motivated to work as much as they did once anymore, how can an individual start to recover from burnout themselves?
I think first and foremost, maybe try to see if there are any ways they could help themselves, you know. So there are lots of information and program that you could find on the internet, for example. If a person takes the initiative, he may be able to find something and experiment a few things that might work for him.
Mm-hmm.
Reaching out to the company, to the human resource department, for example, or to the reporting manager is one way as well. A lot of that depends on whether the person feels comfortable enough sharing their problems with someone in the company. And I think from a company perspective, making some of this program or support known to employees is also fairly important. That is easier said than done in a way.
Of course, yeah.
Because there are companies who have thousands of employees, perhaps spread across the entire Malaysia, for example. So perhaps the resources and the support that is available to employee could be, in most cases, concentrated at the HQ level.
Mm.
So how could somebody sitting in a remote office or working on the field have access to some of these wellness support programs? You know, how do companies make such programs more inclusive? That's where sometimes technology can come into play to help companies address that issue.
Mm.
So take, for example, we work with companies with over 10,000 employees trying to make their wellness program more inclusive. One of the things that they have done was to create a digital wellness program where they provide employees a mobile application that essentially tracks their daily activities. It tracks how many steps they take in a day. And then subsequently, they are being put into some kind of competition league or leaderboard to tell them, you know, how well they are doing from a maintaining daily activities perspective within the same office, within the same team, within the whole company. And employees who do well actually get a small reward and some recognition around it. So
right.
we are basically using the fact that it's a human need. Humans are more motivated when they are being put in a position where maybe they are allowed to, where performance becomes more transparent and they are allowed to compete in a certain way. They are allowed
right.
to play in a team in a certain way. So there is added motivation for people to actually participate in wellness programs.
Right. And I guess in a way, kind of gamifying these wellness programs also helps to take away some of the pressure that someone can feel if they feel compelled to seek that out, right? You know, if you can treat it as a little game or a competition, you don't feel like it's as much work or as much kind of emotional labor for you to do, I suppose. And that makes it easier to seek help in the first place as well. And I think you mentioned one word that I really want to focus on here, which is access. I think that's one of the most important elements that companies can start to do to really think about mental and emotional wellness. It is really about increasing access for people to these resources. And as you said, you know, there are plenty of online resources that one can access as well. So that's really, really great. From a kind of team leader perspective as well, from the kind of outside, right? So instead of the individual seeking help, sometimes, as you mentioned before the break, they might be in a situation where they need help but might not voice it out. So if you're a team leader and you see that someone in your team is struggling with burnout, how might you reach out?
You raise a very good point, Christine. I think I feel that other than the official support channel where maybe people are not comfortable voicing out because they are not sure how the company will react to something like that, maybe they need to have a certain level of trust before they voice out to somebody in an official position.
Mm.
I think it's more important that there is some form of peer support community where, for example, you know, again, for one of our clients, we have created a peer recognition program, peer support program, where every individual in that company could be earning reward points for doing well at work. But we're adding the option of gifting to say that instead of when you work hard and you earn all these perks from the company, you have a choice of giving it to somebody else who need it more than you.
Interesting.
Say,
okay.
For example, I'm a top performer in my team. You know, I did very well and I get a lot of perks from the company, you know, and but I noticed one of my team members is actually having a lot of trouble, you know. His or her birthday is coming. So instead of using the company reward points to get myself a nice gift, I would use the points to buy maybe flowers or chocolates and then send it as a gift to this person.
Right.
So I think that is even more powerful than all the official wellness and benefits program that the company is offering.
Yeah, I suppose it's really about making a gesture to show that you've noticed and you also care in
yes.
some way and you want to help you know, inspire positive feelings in some way, shape, or form. I think also that potentially in that could be reflected in the way that you approach them, even just without a program, let's say, just kind of verbally as well. It's about doing the gesture, right? Instead of kind of
yes.
confronting them or accidentally making them feel even worse, you know, it would be so easy just to reach out and say like, hey, you know, is something okay? Like, do you need any help? Is there anything I can do to lessen your workload, for example? You know, and to kind of make that gesture in a small way, I think would help a lot as well.
I guess it has to come from the culture of the company. I
mm-hmm.
think when I talk about social wellness, you know, part of it involves for the company to develop a culture where peer support is part of what everybody does.
I suppose that basically, you know, you have to also be in the right environment as well. And you, it's very, very difficult to offer support in an environment that doesn't support support.
I suppose
is a weird way to put it, but, you know, fair enough. And it's really important, I think, for a lot of our listeners who are mainly, entrepreneurs who have their own kind of small companies, to really take a step back and try to figure out if your company and your company's culture is one that will support this sort of peer-to-peer gesture as well.
Yeah, yeah. I think if I were to crystallize what I wanted to say, it's really to ask companies out there to develop a culture of caring. Meaning, of course, you know, everybody come to the office to perform, to do well, to help the company succeed. But at the same time, it should be part of the culture to also support each other.
Yeah, no, totally. I really agree with that. I think as we move forward and as we continue to progress in the workforce, that empathy and care is really going to play a massive role in positive performance for everyone as well. That is actually about it for Raise Your Game on Enterprise today. Thank you so much for speaking to us about employee burnout today.
Thank you so much, Christy.
All right. If you've missed any of this interview, you can download our app that's available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also head over to Spotify to listen to some of our podcasts now because we're on there. You can also, if you're a bit more traditional, go to our website, bfm.my/podcasts, where you can listen to and download the show. You've been listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.